Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Cioli.
The Sean Puffy Combs arrest. Is this a Hollywood-style Epstein, Hollywood sex trafficking ring? There's a lot about this that makes no sense whatsoever and is terrifying at the same time. We're going to talk about it. Barack Obama jumps in to try and save Joe Biden. But is it actually Barack who's jumping in? And also, too, Donald Trump is making billions of dollars with his Truth Social. Why'd you turn the music off? I haven't done the phone number yet.
It ran out.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Just like that?
I never put it down. I always let it play out. So, sorry if that messed up your flow.
We like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind, because it's more inclusive.
Thanks, little Cubano. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Trump making billions of dollars on Truth Social. We got a lot for you today. It's a busy, busy show. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where it is my happy place. I get happy every time I go. And we're going to have our first live show of the year there, Friday, May 3rd. I want to see you there. I want a big Zeoli Army show up Friday, May 3rd at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, our happy place. And thank you to them for sponsoring this happy hour. Okay, so let's understand a couple things real quick at the start of this. The whole theme of today's show is it's a battle for the control of information. This is everything that we are talking about in this moment in time right now. I mean, they are literally prosecuting the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, for having an opinion that the election was stolen. Now, last time I checked, this is the United States of America, and you're allowed to have opinions on things. You're allowed to have an opinion. You can believe the election was stolen. You can believe that because it's America. You're allowed to believe these things. But they're prosecuting him for this now, and they're going after him. By the way, breaking news on the ship in Baltimore. A Baltimore port worker claims that the Dolly cargo ship had a severe electrical problem just days before it crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Container Royalty co-administrator Julie Mitchell said the ship was having issues 48 hours before the crash. Quote, "Those 2 days, they were having serious power outages. They had a severe electrical problem. It was total power failure, loss of engine power, everything," she said. This is from the CNN has this. Matt, see if you can grab it for me if you could. This just broke a few moments ago. Mitchell claims the refrigerated containers tripped breakers on the ship multiple times and mechanics tried fixing the issue. Mitchell said that power problems are rare on cargo ships like the Dolly and that it should never have left the port until the issue was fixed. Actually, let's see if I have this here. Colin Ruggs got this. Let me send this to you and see if this is the clip from this expert here on CNN. Again, this is just kind of breaking news here. An officer on the Dolly says the ship went dead and everything was dark. Quote, the vessel was dead. No steering power and no electronics. The smell of burned fuel was everywhere in the engine room and it was pitch black. So the fact that this is a Singapore ship is relevant because the United States of America doesn't regulate ships that fly under a foreign flag. This is a problem, obviously. And if the ship was not up to par, we would not know that because if it's an international ship. And so this is, again, part of the issue here. So now if that's true, if they were having severe electrical problems, then the question becomes, why did the ship ever leave port in the first place? And again, these are kind of the questions that I'm asking. I've been asking these questions. I'm not suggesting foul play. I don't have the evidence to suggest that. I'm just pointing out that it could be serious irresponsibility. Like everybody's saying freak accident, but what if it goes deeper than a freak accident? If they knew the ship was having major electrical problems, and why the hell was it setting sail? You know what I mean? That's bigger than just a catastrophic accident. That's bigger than just an oops failure, or bigger than just dirty fuel. If this is true, if what this woman is saying is true, then this ship never should have left the port, period. And then the other question that I have then is, so who's going to be picking up the bill for this? Because this is a Singapore ship that caused this damage, this horrific tragedy here. Is Singapore going to pay the tab, or are we paying the tab for this? Especially if we can find out and ascertain that they knew that this ship had electrical problems. This boat should have never left the dock. If this is accurate, what is that audio I just sent you? You have that for me?
It's no good. It's just no good? Somber okay. Music. Yeah, there's no report okay. or anything attached.
See if CNN has this woman on there for me, or if Grabian has it, if you could, that would be great. But again, this is a Baltimore port worker claiming the Dolly cargo ship had a severe electrical problem just days before it crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. You know, and then this is a part of the issue, right? I was asking yesterday, I was saying, well, I mean, is this just like it just happened? Like all of a sudden something just went wrong? Maybe not. Maybe they knew this was a problem days earlier, in which case that's a major problem. All right, we'll look into that. We'll try to grab that for you. But everything is about the power over misinformation and disinformation. Everything is about controlling that. And this is why when 60 Minutes went out there and they had this misinformation expert, they put her on there who was alleging that Republicans peddle misinformation more than Democrats do. They left out a whole lot of things about this woman, this expert they bring on. They left out the fact that she's in the middle of a lawsuit over censorship. She's part of the case that the United States Supreme Court is literally looking at right now to determine whether or not the federal government was using its power to coerce social media companies to silence you on things that would be proven true, like masks don't work, lockdowns don't work, the COVID vaccine does not stop transmission of the COVID virus. All those things that you said that were true that they blocked you for saying, or that the Hunter Biden laptop was not Russian disinformation. All those things. Think about it. If you, like me, were out there saying that COVID came from the lab, you're right. If you, like me, were out there saying masks don't work, not the way that they're being used, you were right. If you said that kids should be in school, you were right. If you said that social distancing is nonsense, you were right. Everything you said was right. But everything at the time was labeled misinformation, harmful disinformation, and this woman was behind it. And she's the expert they roll out there on 60 Minutes to say, look, you got to make sure that we're able to have this government body that can look over all these things. So the lawsuit that was filed by people over at the Gateway Pundit, they allege that Starbird, the woman who Leslie Stahl interviewed, and other personnel from her organization were involved in quote, probably the largest mass surveillance and mass censorship program in American history, the so-called Election Integrity Partnership and Virality Project. The complaint further claimed that Starbird's University of Washington lab secured the aforementioned $2.25 million grant just months after Starbird's lab helped censor the Biden administration's political adversary during the 2020 election. How did they do that? Well, obviously by saying the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation and the Russians are coming and they had to shut it down because the Russians were trying to influence our election and hurt the Democrat opponent. That's what that letter said. Remember the letter that was signed by 50 former national security hacks? Don't you love it too? Guys like James Clapper, John Brennan, the CIA director. That guy gets a gig on, I don't know, I think he's on MSNBC, CNN. It's all the same, whatever. That dude was behind breaking into the SCIF, the secure Senate bipartisan room, investigating the enhanced interrogation / torture. And that dude had the CIA break in there and steal all their stuff. And that guy is rewarded with a gig on MSNBC. Why? Because he goes on there and he bashes Trump. And he's one of the signers of that letter about the Hunter Biden laptop. Ronna McDaniel gets a gig and they all freak out. James Clapper, who was the director of national intelligence, whatever the agency was, he's the guy that lied before the United States Senate under oath when they said, are you spying on us right now? Is the government spying on the American people? And he said no. Perjured himself. Both of those two guys should be in prison. Neither of them are. Instead, they're both on television all the time. Why? Because they trashed Donald Trump. And they are literally, I mean, the epitome of the deep state, those two guys. Those two guys, along with everybody who signed that Hunter Biden laptop letter, and everybody in the CIA who orchestrated this at the start of this, that is the deep state. They're all welcome to go on television. They don't care about anything they did. Look, if you were behind the Iraq war, at one point the media called you the worst people. You were a war criminal. Now, when Dick Cheney or Liz Cheney or anyone goes on TV to bash Trump, they're considered to be the wise sages of the Republican Party. A party that at one time invaded a country that didn't do anything to the United States of America. And at the time, the left said was completely inappropriate to do. And now that's the Republican Party that we're all yearning to be again. You know, the party that just invades a country. That's the real Republican Party that we need to be again. These people are such hacks. They really are. They're such hacks. The deep state is so involved in every aspect of all of this. So she was a member of CISA. This is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. And she also apparently ran lead on the CISA task force. And I'll read you what it was called, quote, protecting critical infrastructure from misinformation and disinformation. This is the woman that 60 Minutes rolled out. CISA, a component of the Department of Homeland Security, is accused, along with other prongs of the Biden administration, of violating Americans' First Amendment rights online. That is the case, Murthy v. Missouri, that we're talking about now. And if you missed my interview with Tracy Beans from last week, go back and listen to it. She laid it all out there for you. Now, these groups were working to silence and censor you for your opinions. And it was everything. It was a lot of things. Last year, Mike Benz, the executive director of the Foundation for Freedom Online, shared a video from Starbird detailing how to kill or cure narratives on Twitter. That's the audio we played you earlier. In her interview with 60 Minutes, Starbird regurgitated many of the talking points advanced by the Biden administration in its fight to keep leaning on social media companies to censor dissenting voices online. Quote, it's interesting that the people that pushed voter fraud lies are some of the same people that are trying to discredit researchers that are trying to understand the problem, she said. She's not only sympathetic to Democratic aims to clamp down on speech, but also a fan of the guy in the White House. Starbird donated to then-candidate Joe Biden's presidential campaign in 2020. In addition to signing checks for the Biden campaign and the Biden Victory Fund, she's also poured cash into Act Blue and other leftist causes, according to Federal Election Commission records. 60 Minutes did not bring up any of this when they introduced her as their expert on misinformation and disinformation. Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri responded to Starboard's interview writing, quote, "Missouri v. Biden exposed this. Misinformation researchers are part of the vast censorship enterprise. No tax dollars to wannabe authoritarians." Remember, Schmidt is the guy. It was originally Missouri v. Biden. It became Murthy v. Biden. But Schmidt was one of the guys as the attorney general at the time before he became a U.S. senator who was suing the Biden administration because they were censoring you using their other leg of the dark triad, big tech, to do their bidding. And the emails from the White House are very, very blatant. The emails from CISA, it's all there. It's all very, very blatant. And this woman is at the heart of this. Here's my point. They want to shut down Elon Musk. Tulsi Gabbard was on the show, what, Monday? Was it Monday?
Yeah.
If you missed that interview, podcast for you. Tulsi Gabbard said it. She said, "Rich, look, this is the Patriot Act all over again. This bill to make the sale of TikTok happen is the Patriot Act all over again. That jackass, that congressman from Massachusetts, Democrat Jake Auchincloss, said the quiet part out loud. He said, first, we have to get TikTok under U.S. law, and then we regulate all social media companies." Trump advisor Stephen Miller of America First Legal noted, quote, "Irony alert, CBS is guilty of rank disinformation in this interview. They use Kate Starbird as their expert, but they don't tell you that Starbird is the defendant in our lawsuit, alleging a vast scheme to silence speech and deprive Americans of their fundamental civil rights." Here's a little bit more of what she peddled on 60 Minutes the other night, accusing Republicans of spreading misinformation. Take a listen.
"Did your research find that there was more misinformation spread by conservatives?"
"Absolutely. I think not just our research, research across the board looking at the 2020 election found that there was more misinformation spread by people that were supporters of Donald Trump or conservatives. And the events of January 6th kind of underscore this."
USA!
See that? See, and it's all about what? It's all about preventing the next January 6th. So you got to stop that from happening by censoring speech. Otherwise, you're going to have another insurrection. See, remember, Mama Zioli, if you're listening, and I know you're not, because you're doing something else, probably reporting on what's getting blown up, but whatever it is. The Tide Pod Challenge is the ruse. It's the Tide Pod Challenge to motivate people like you to want censorship, to want government regulation of the internet. So why what DeSantis is doing in Florida is so wrong. You know, this idea of saying minors should not be on social media till they're 14 sounds great. 13, 14 sounds great, except for two problems. Number one, I don't want the government being the parent. And number two, the other problem is that that destroys anonymity on the internet. Gone. You cannot be in a situation. I told you, I have a friend. She's great. She sends me a lot of stuff for the show. She's terrific. And she does not want her name attached to any of it because she doesn't want to get canceled. And during COVID, she was sending me all kinds of research from other places, and she's terrific and invaluable to me as a friend. But she does not want her name attached to any of it. So she uses a pseudonym on social media. She uses a pseudonym on X. That's her right, and she has the right to do that. But the minute you start implementing things like age verification under the guise of keeping children safe, well, then everybody has to be verified, because how do you know it's not a child? See, you don't think this through. And then what happens is now the government knows exactly who you are. And whatever they tell you, whatever lie they tell you about how they won't keep records of the information, that it'll be a third party, the government won't have access to it, you know as well as I do that that is a load of crap and you can't trust these people. And if they want to figure out who's the pesky person spreading the disinformation for the good of the public, they'll figure it out, because you don't have the right anymore to be anonymous on the internet, because we had to protect the children from harmful videos on Instagram that might make them become anorexic. So we put in age verification standards, which completely destroy your ability to go online and challenge the government narrative. Because you're afraid of getting canceled, fired from your job, whatever. And if you think that they won't be able to figure out who you are and then out you and expose you, people like this and all these little groups, that's exactly what they'll do. And then one day there'll be a leak. There'll be a data leak of everybody and whose name is who. Remember years ago there was that leak of AshleyMadison.com. Do you remember that, guys? Ashley Madison?
It was for men seeking, like extramarital?
Yeah, married men and women who are looking for extramarital fun affairs. And they released, it was a data breach, and every email was released. You remember that?
Yeah.
And like everybody was on there because people would sign up their friends as jokes and things like that, or people would sign up just because they were curious. So like basically everybody was on that list. But that's exactly what I'm talking about. There's a data leak that happens every single day in this country. I was not on that list, by the way, just so you know. I was not. And if I was, I'm certainly not dumb enough to use my actual email address.
You use not Rich Zeoli at like yahoo.com or something.
SwingerRichie@gmail.com. Pink Flamingo Richie upside down pineapple @gmail.com, I believe was the email address that I used. It's what came out, I think, in that leak. There's a data leak every freaking 5 minutes. I went online today and I see now that my healthcare data has been leaked. Great. Awesome. Great. Fantastic.
Yeah, I ran my stuff through a service the other day. It said I had 8 data leaks across the internet.
Eight. Yeah.
So I'm just like, whatever.
But we're going to trust that whatever age verification they put in is going to keep, make sure we're all anonymous so that when we're bashing the government and being a pain in their ass, they'll never know it's us. You can trust that. Don't worry about it. They'll never leak that, and so that your employer won't ever find out that you're the pain in the neck who's giving Leslie Starbird or whatever her name is all these headaches and causing Fauci all this agita because you're challenging him all the time. We got to be smarter than this. We got to be smarter than this. I'm telling you, it's like whenever we on the right, on our side of the political aisle, we wind up acting like the left whenever they use the trigger words of China or children. It's like China, children. It used to be terrorists. Now you're the terrorist. I've told you that. You know, years ago, it was just keep me safe from Al Qaeda. I don't care what you do to me. Just do whatever you need to do. Crush the Fourth Amendment. We can't have another 9/11. Do whatever you got to do. We passed the Patriot Act. Look where we are today as a country. And now what they do is they use words like Tide Pod Challenge and children. Can you pull up a Ketanji Brown Jackson for me when she talks about kids jumping off buildings, that challenge?
Also, with the whole Tide Pod Challenge, that was 6 years ago.
Well, I'm using it as an example.
I know, but people will bring that up as, you know, the example. It'd be like, oh, you got to censor this. Like, they're eating Tide Pods. That was 6 years ago, and I'd argue that was probably the apex of, like, internet challenge stupidity.
Yeah.
There really hasn't been a whole, like, jumping off a bridge challenge, that's not a thing. Come on.
Also, people make stupid dares in real life, too.
Yeah. They just don't film it all the time.
When I was a kid, we used to go cliff diving all the time. We'd go cliff diving in a quarry. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't online, but it was stupid. We shouldn't have done it. I'm glad I didn't break my neck. Because I have no athletic ability whatsoever, so I'm lucky to be alive right now. We would go cliff diving all the time. People challenge each other at stupid stuff, even not online. But what was the Ketanji Brown Jackson one that she used, Matt? It was like the jumping off building challenges or something.
Yeah,
you have it.
I don't. I'm trying to find it now. But yes, I believe you're correct.
Don't you have like a folder you can just quickly search?
We have so much audio every single day. It's broken down by day and I can search by keyword, but our computers are really slow and Ketanji Brown Jackson is a lot for this computer to process.
Well,
she's got a lot of name.
A lot of clips too.
Yeah, that's true. And she's not a biologist. Maybe that's your problem. You're searching biologists. She's not a biologist. She doesn't know what a woman is. So don't search that. That's your query. Well, anyway, the point is that we have to be smarter than this and not fall prey to what they want. What they want is to be able to regulate the internet so they can shut down disinformation, and I'm using air quotes for that because they get to decide what's disinformation, and they've got all the power. And the only thing standing in their way of having complete control over everything is two people. Two people. Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Really? That's it. Because X, the platform known as X, will not comply. She said that when they would send disinformation requests to Twitter with Elon there, they would maybe put things on like 30% of the time. Elon is not going to play that game. He shouldn't put any of it on, but, you know. And Trump's not going to play that game. And now True Social is worth $8 billion. So when Jake Auchincloss says we have to force the sale of TikTok, let's understand what the TikTok ban really is. All right. It is not banning TikTok. It is forcing the sale of TikTok to an American company so that it can be based on U.S. soil, so that it can be regulated by the United States government. And then when they pass the law to regulate the internet, which they want to do, to protect you from harmful disinformation so we don't have another January 6th or kids eating Tide Pods, then they can go after Elon Musk and Twitter and Trump and Truth Social. And guys like DeSantis are feeding into this. You know, Republicans that do this stuff under the guise of protecting the children and parents who are Republican and conservative voters who fall into this because they hear the C word, children. Not the other C word. Children. You are absolutely playing their game. Did you find it?
I'm still looking.
Oh, come on, man.
I have one clip, but it's not the right
one.
You
just Google it.
I'm Googling it now. We have evidently a lot of Ketanji Brown Jackson clips.
Ketanji Brown Jackson First Amendment. If you Google that, it doesn't come up?
I have that, but it's not the right clip. You can listen to it if you want. It's her saying that she's concerned about hamstringing the government's ability.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, but the example isn't in there. You can listen. I have it if you want it right now.
All right, go ahead, play it. Go ahead.
Justice Jackson?
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government
in
significant ways in the most important time periods. I mean, what would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, you know, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
Okay. So the First Amendment hamstrings the government. You see, and the government can't interact with the source of those problems. Government can interact. Sure. If the government, like, I'll give you an example. Let's say, for example, I'm on social media and I'm saying masks don't work, lockdowns don't work, and the government is more than welcome to respond to my tweet and say, we disagree, and link to a study, and they're allowed to do that. I'm not suggesting the government doesn't have the right to do that. That's not what she means. What she means is the government can't censor me for saying those things. And you see, her ridiculous analogy, her ridiculous example was the kids jumping off of building challenge. Now, is this a thing where we're challenging kids to jump off buildings? Is this a thing?
No.
No, of course not. It's like the game Rampage. Remember that? Where you remember the game, the video game Rampage? You'd be either the gorilla or the gods of the lizard. Or you don't remember this?
Maybe it's a little before my time.
Oh, man.
Also, I just
don't date yourself
jump
like
in
that.
And I don't want Kate Starbird to accuse us of spreading fake news. It was jump out a window.
Oh, jump out a window challenge. Is this a thing?
I've never heard of it. I'm sure somebody on social media somewhere has told somebody to jump out of a window. There's no doubt it has occurred.
So you see, they use the jump out of a window, scary, and then you get people like Mama Zioli going, yes, yes, regulate it, because I can't have... Patrick, honey, don't jump out of windows if anybody on social media tells you to jump out a window, baby. Be careful, baby. And then all of a sudden now, next thing you know, what you've done is you've given them the ability to silence you because you're disagreeing with them on COVID, climate change, the Hunter Biden laptop story, the election being stolen, whatever it is. This is what they want. Stop playing into their hands. These people drive me crazy. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. This is a little bit of the, well, you know, let me just take a quick break. We have a little audio from the ship disaster in Baltimore that I'll play with you. As more questions now, did the ship have actually electrical problems that were occurring days before the ship actually left port? Because if that's the case, then that's a major, major problem. And RFK Jr., his pick helped push millions of dollars to pro illegal immigrant anti-cop groups. I've got that story for you, too. As even right now, the head of the Libertarian Party has come out and said, why'd you pick her? And Donald Trump has said, Robert F. Kennedy has picked an extreme lefty to be his running mate. So I've got that for you, too. We got a lot more of show to talk about. But it's that time of year. You got to think about your beautiful lawn. Before you know it, the weeds are going to be overtaking your lawn. But you can do something about it. You can do what I do, which is to reach out to my friends at Natural Lawn of America. You want that lush, thick, green lawn that's the envy of the neighborhood? Of course you do. And you want a safer lawn. Safer for your kids, your pets, your family. Well, that's what Natural Lawn of America is all about. Natural Lawn has been creating green lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds for over 35 years. This is not your one-size-fits-all lawn care company. No. Natural Lawn certified specialists tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs. They use exclusive organic-based fertilizers, safer weeds and insect controls to give you the results you want and the peace of mind you deserve. Let me tell you the difference here and why this matters. So I came to my house last week. The Natural Lawn of America technician wrote a detailed form for me of exactly the treatments he used and why. Wrote it all down. And then the plan of action for what's going to be the next treatment that he comes. These other lawn care companies, it's one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter approach. They just come and spray. Not Natural Lawn of America. It is specific to your lawn. That's the difference. That's why it works. It's why I've been using them for years. Locally owned, very important to me. Family operated, very important to me. And based right here in PA and New Jersey, very important to me. Natural Lawn is competitively priced and has a satisfaction guarantee. So get started today and take advantage of their limited-time offer. Free seeding every year. That free seeding is going to make a huge difference every year for you with your lawn. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. You'll get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED or visit naturallawn.com. Trust the leader in organic-based lawn care, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
So Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s running mate is a lefty kook. John Stewart's a hypocrite. No surprise there. And a stripper bill of rights bill has been passed in a state in America. I will share the details with you as we continue along here on our 5 o'clock hour. Big story of the day, though, of course, is the fact that former President Donald Trump is Truth Social, first day of trading on NASDAQ, $8 billion. Brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, veneriadental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. With two locations to serve you, in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your free implant consultation today, 856-786-2020, or visit veneriadental.com. Let's start with Nicole Shanahan, shall we? Because this is the kook that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has picked to be his running mate. I'll share this with you. Nicole Shanahan, independent presidential candidate, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s running mate, has a long history of donating to soft on crime causes, including leading a foundation that spent big on groups opposed to mandatory minimum prison sentences and supporting the removal of police from schools. Now, let me make a point on mandatory minimums. Sometimes mandatory minimums are not a good idea. It just depends on the circumstance. And I believe police in schools is a very, very positive thing, as long as the cops are not there to arrest kids for doing things that we did as kids, like burping and, you know, having food fights. If they're there to protect the kids and show them that law enforcement can be, you know, a friend, I'm all for it. The 38-year-old who has spoken about her involvement with criminal justice reformers in San Francisco is the founder and president of the Baya Echo Foundation. It's contributed more than $11.6 million to left-wing causes, according to a review of receipts by The Post. The bulk of that money, $10 million, went to the Silicon Valley Community Foundation, which passed the cash to organizations advocating for lighter prison terms and supporting lawyers representing illegal immigrants in the United States. The foundation also sent $625,000 to Impact Justice, which advocates giving homeowners stipends in exchange for housing newly released prisoners in private homes, and whose founder has called the U.S. prison system a direct legacy of slavery. Impact Justice's board includes Shamika Gaskins, president and CEO of End Child Poverty in California, who has crowed about fighting for economic relief for our undocumented brothers and sisters, and leading groundbreaking pursuits for educational justice by removing police from schools in Los Angeles and Oakland. She was also one of the top donors backing woke Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon, giving him more than $150,000 during the 2020 campaign. He ran on a platform of reducing incarceration, eliminating sentence enhancements, ending the death penalty, and banning minors from being tried as adults. She was also a major donor in support of Measure J, a proposition mandating that LA County spend 10% of its locally generated funds on social services like housing, mental health treatment, and other jail diversion programs. That money cannot go toward prisons, jails, or law enforcement agencies. She also argued that having a mental health professional on the scene of George Floyd's arrest would have de-escalated the situation and possibly saved his life. Measure J was challenged in court by local law enforcement unions, which warned that the funding cuts imposed on the criminal justice system would make Los Angeles less safe. They said at the time, quote, with unprecedented staffing shortages, the upcoming Olympics in 2028, and increasing crime, there couldn't be a worse time to cut deputies, said the Association of Los Angeles Deputy Sheriff President Richard Pippin. Her funding history aligns with the opinions of Kennedy, who has advocated for eliminating prison sentences for nonviolent drug crimes and diverting addicts to rehabilitation centers or farms. Well, I don't care about that. That's all fine. But the Libertarian, the woman who was the head of the Libertarian Party, and she came out and said she's actually really surprised that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. picked her for a lot of her positions on things. We have a little bit of that, right, Matt, from earlier today, I believe. I sent that to you.
Yeah. Here it is.
Okay, take a listen.
I think that a lot of libertarians are a little bit confused over why he chose Nicole Shanahan. I'm sure she's a lovely person, but she doesn't necessarily fit into alignment with any of our views.
And okay, let me press you on that. In particular, what are her views that are not in alignment that conflict with libertarian platform?
Well, we haven't really heard her make any strong political statements today, but I know that she was a former Biden and Buttigieg supporter, and she supported Gascon, who, you know, from a libertarian perspective, is not been a good district attorney. We don't like that he doesn't seem to respect property rights. So I'm really unsure how she's going to fit in with the Libertarian Party. You know, I'm anxious to hear about it.
Some breaking news. Joe Lieberman has passed away. Former senator and vice presidential candidate Joe Lieberman has passed away at 82 years old. You remember he was Al Gore's running mate and the first Jewish candidate on the national ticket of a major party. I'll share this with you. It just came out a few moments ago. He died today in New York City at 82 years old. The cause was implications from a fall, his family said in a statement. Mr. Lieberman viewed himself as a centrist Democrat, solidly in his party's mainstream with his support of abortion rights, environmental protection, gay rights, and gun control, but he was also unafraid to stray from Democratic orthodoxy, most notably in his consistently hawkish stance on foreign policy. His full-throated support of the 2003 invasion of Iraq and the increasingly unpopular war that followed doomed Mr. Lieberman's bid for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2004 and led to his rejection by Connecticut Democrats when he sought his fourth Senate term in 2006. He kept his seat by running that November as an independent candidate and attracting substantial support from Republican and unaffiliated voters. I have not always fit comfortably into conventional political boxes, Mr. Lieberman said near the end of his Senate career, an understatement that tiptoed around the anger his maverick ways stoked among many liberals. This is from the Washington Post. His transition from Al Gore's running mate in 2000 on the Democratic ticket to high-profile cheerleader for Republican presidential candidate John McCain 8 years later was a turnaround unmatched in recent American politics. In a primetime speech at the 2008 Republican convention, Mr. Lieberman hailed Mr. McCain, an Arizona senator and former Vietnam War POW, for his courage and accomplishment. He dismissed Barack Obama, the one-term senator from Illinois and Democratic nominee, as a gifted and eloquent young man who lacked the experience needed in the White House. On international trips to Iraq and other hotspots, Mr. Lieberman and Mr. McCain have become close friends as well as allies in support of the Iraq War, including President George W. Bush's decision in 2007 to shore up the faltering U.S. military effort with the surge of thousands of additional troops. Mr. McCain seriously considered making Mr. Lieberman his running mate, but his advisors warned that Mr. Lieberman's Democratic history and voting record, particularly his stand in favor of abortion, would anger convention delegates and split the party. Most observers, including Mr. Lieberman, doubted that his presence on the ticket would have saved Mr. McCain from defeat by Obama. He remarked that had he joined the McCain ticket, he would have had the distinction not only of running for vice president on both party tickets, but also of losing twice, he said. He was born in Stamford, Connecticut, February 24th, 1942, the oldest of three children in an Orthodox Jewish family. His father, a former bakery truck driver, eventually saved enough to buy a liquor store. His parents impressed upon him the value of education and instilled in him an ambition to succeed. He was senior class president and senior prom king of his high school. Went to Yale and on it goes. So that's some breaking news for you on the show right there. The other point I wanted to make to you is that sometimes hypocrisy in politics is amazing to me. So Jon Stewart, who I think is very funny on a lot of things. A lot of things I actually, over the years, like when Jon Stewart was on The Daily Show and used to make fun of Obama for drone strikes, for example, I thought it was great. But Jon Stewart has come back now because he hates Donald Trump's guts, and his entire job now is to try to stop Trump. So he went after Trump for inflating the value of his properties. Well, turns out Jon Stewart is facing online backlash after the comedian opined on air this week that Donald Trump's civil real estate case for overvaluing his properties was not victimless. But it turns out the price of a previous home sale finds Jon Stewart doing the exact same thing, according to the New York Post. On Monday night, Jon Stewart unpacked Trump's $455 million appeal bond, calling out experts framing the former president's New York civil case as not causing direct harm to any individual. Remember, I was telling you how Andy McCarthy, who was on the show, pointed out there's no victims in the case. Banks, mortgage companies, nobody had a problem with it. In fact, they wanted to do more business with Donald Trump. The Daily Show host rolled a clip of CNN's Laura Coates interviewing Shark Tank star Kevin O'Leary, who commented that the ruling didn't go over well with the real estate industry that was now fretting over the possibility of becoming the next target. We played that clip on the show for you. Coach responded to O'Leary by highlighting that Trump was found liable for falsifying business records in the second degree, issuing financial statements, insurance fraud, and conspiracy, all due to asset inflation. Everything that you just listed is done by every real estate developer everywhere on earth in every city that has never been prosecuted, said O'Leary. In response, Stewart asked, how is he not this mad about overvaluations in the real world because they are not victimless crimes? To further his point, John Stewart argued that money isn't infinite. A loan that goes to the liar doesn't go to someone who's giving a more honest evaluation, so the system becomes incentivized for corruption. That's not true. That's the zero-sum game attitude that people who are of the Marxist economic mindset believe, that there's a finite amount, so you got to spread it out. Stewart also contended that failing to declare a higher market value on a property while paying taxes based on a lower assessed value constitutes fraudulent behavior. Well, actually, I would say that if anything, then you got to question whether or not Trump is owed money back for paying too much in property taxes. He said the Attorney General of New York knew that Trump's property values were inflated because when it came time to pay taxes, Trump undervalued the very same properties. It was all part of a very specific real estate practice known as lying. But that's not true, because the government assesses property differently than the real estate market does. You know this. I mean, your home and the property taxes you pay is based on an assessment formula that municipalities use. And that's different than what the market value of a home is. Everybody knows that. That's common sense. It's not lying. It's not lying in any way, shape, or form. But it didn't take long for internet sleuths to look into Stewart's own property history, which shows an overvaluation of his New York City penthouse by a staggering 829%. Oofah. Wow. In 2014, Stewart sold his 6,280-square-foot Tribeca duplex to financier Parag Pandey for $17.5 million. But according to 2013 to 2014 assessor records obtained by the Post, the property had the estimated market value at only $1.8 million. The actual assessor valuation was even lower. It was about $850,000. Records also show that John Stewart paid significantly lower property taxes, which were calculated based on the assessor valuation price, precisely what he called Trump out for doing during his Monday monologue. The guy who purchased the penthouse from Stewart then resold the property at a nearly 26% loss, according to The Real Deal, at just over $13 million in 2021. Tim Pool, a political commentator known for his more right-leaning views, who was called out actually by that woman on 60 Minutes as being one of the people that spreads disinformation, alleged on X that Stewart was being a hypocrite. Did John Stewart commit fraud when he sold his penthouse for $17.5 million? New York listed its market value at $1.8 million and the assessment at $800,000. So who did he defraud? He defraud anybody? Now, of course, the answer to that is no, because he got what he could. He got the maximum value for his property. Good for him. Problem is, he's a freaking hypocrite for calling out Trump for doing the exact same thing. And calling out Kevin O'Leary for saying that this would cause a catastrophic disaster for the real estate community. Because people wind up having to deal with different values all the time from a property tax perspective and from a market perspective. And people overinflate the value of assets all the time in real estate. John Stewart certainly did. And I wonder if John Stewart in any way, shape, or form ever used the value of that property for something else, a life insurance policy, or I don't know. I mean, who knows? Meanwhile, the New York assessor valuation on Stewart's former penthouse is the exact same citation method and metric that New York Attorney General Letitia James used to value Trump's private and personal properties and then sued him for inflating those assets, which includes Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach, known as his main residence, which was assessed at only $18 million at the time. Real estate brokers had valued the property at 50 times more than that amount. And if you remember the other day, played you a clip from CNN where they were sitting around the table talking about how if Trump had to give up his assets to pay the bond, he could sell Mar-a-Lago for hundreds of millions of dollars. The hypocrisy is just absolutely staggering of these people. Anyway, more to come on that, no doubt about it. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in. We've got some more details on the accident that occurred in Baltimore with the ship. There's a lot of questions around that. And NBC dropping Ronna McDaniel from her perch, getting a lot of blowback. And I will share with you some reaction from that as well. Our fourth and final hour is straight ahead. But listen, I got to thank Garden State Earthworks. I mean, man, did they save me. They saved me. We have big rain coming, you know. They just postponed the Phillies game to Friday because of how much rain we're going to get. If you've got water problems, please reach out to Garden State Earthworks right now because they will save your property. They literally just did this for me last week. So we bought our new house. Our backyard was just a swamp. Every time it rained, it was a swamp. The water would stand for days. It wasn't draining anywhere. And eventually that water is going to go someplace, probably into my basement and ruin my house. But Garden State Earthworks came over. My buddy Lou Vargo, they drained that water away. And last week when we had those heavy rains, Bridget and I watched out the window as all the water was disappearing. And then when the rain stopped, the water was gone. Backyard was dry. It was great. That's what you need. Trust the experts at Garden State Earthworks. Call them right now at 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. If you've got water problems, trust me, it's never going to get better. You need the experts. I've used him twice on two different properties. House that I owned years ago, we had a wet basement. And that's when I met Lou for the first time. And he said to me, I promise you, you'll never have another drop of water in this basement ever again. And we never did. That basement was dry as a bone after that. And then Lou became my really good friend. And he is. He's like a brother now. He's a great guy. He's honest. He's a big teddy bear. And he will get the work done for you guaranteed. So if you've got any water damage whatsoever, if you've had to replace your pool liner is floating, damage to your hardscaping, patio walls, or anything, wet basements, soggy backyards, let Garden State Earthworks take care of it. They are the experts you need. Don't trust a landscape company. Trust the guys that deal with this. This is what they do. This is all they do. And that's why they're the best at it. 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Or GardenStateEarthworks.com. They're very busy this time of year with spring on the way and all the rain. But if you tell them I sent you, they will make you a priority. GardenStateEarthworks.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.